Aaron Greenleaf is preaching in Danville this morning. Everybody remember him. And tonight, I'm going to be speaking from Acts chapter 16, where Paul had been attempting to preach the gospel in several different places, and the Spirit suffered him not, and then he had a vision. A man of Macedonia said, "Come over and help us." That's what I'm going to try to preach on. Come over and help us. What was the help? I've entitled the message for this morning, Noah, a Sinner, Saved by Grace. Noah, a sinner, saved by grace. Now, if I was writing the biography of Noah, I doubt that I would have ended up with this story. As a matter of fact, I've always thought this is, I want to say this reverently, but an unusual way to end up the story of this man, Noah. We don't know how long Noah had been off the ark, but during this time, Ham did not have a son when he came off the ark, and he has a son at this time by the name of Canaan. And some have actually thought that Canaan was the one who saw Noah and told Ham about it, and Ham told his brothers. And that could be the case because Canaan is cursed in this story. But Ham saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers, "You need to see this hypocrite. Claims to be a Christian, claims to be a follower of God. Look at him." That is what was going on. Look at him. Now, Noah had become a farmer. He planted a vineyard, became intoxicated by drinking the wine he produced from that vineyard. He passed out. When he woke up from his wine, that means he passed out, and was naked in his tent. Ham, his younger son, sees it and tells his brothers about it. He was seeking to expose his father to them. He was seeking to expose his father's sin to them. Now, I love their reaction. They would have none of it. As a matter of fact, they went in with a blanket and went in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. They had no interest in exposing their father. You see, love covers a transgression. It always does. And they went backwards and covered their father. Noah wakes up from his wine, and he knows what was done. And he curses Canaan and Ham, all the descendants of Ham. Now, this is the final chapter of this special man's life. The final chapter. Noah, never been a better man, I don't suppose. We've been looking at him for quite a while now. But this is the final chapter of this man's life. And he's mentioned in the New Testament on 8 different occasions. And every time he's mentioned, it's always good. There's nothing brought up about this in the New Testament. And I love to remember that the New Testament account of every believer, because of Christ, it's all good. Nothing bad to be brought up. Now, the first thing that I would think of in considering this story is that only the Bible tells the truth. Only the Bible tells the truth. Now, if I was writing something about myself, I guarantee you it would come out better than it is. Same with you. We'd always try to present ourselves in a better light. Only the Bible gives the truth. You believe that? Only the Bible gives the truth. This story is part of the inspired, inerrant Word of God, and it's for our spiritual instruction and benefit. And I pray that the Lord blesses us in considering this event. Now, this tells us that Noah was clearly still a sinner. He was a saint. He was a man of faith. He was a man who feared God. Remember, in Hebrews 11:7 says he moved with fear. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a man whom God testified that he walked with God. What a commendation. He was a saved man, and he was still a sinner. Every believer that is not in heaven is still a sinner. I'm looking at a bunch of sinners this morning. You're listening to a sinner speaking to you. Someone who commits sins. Noah was still a sinner. Now, while we have been born again and have a new nature, we still have the same nature we were born with the first time, and it's just as bad and it's just as evil as it ever was. And that's the truth. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that? Paul said, I know that. Now, in that verse of Scripture in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, would you look at it with me? We've looked at this a lot over the... And I will, as long as I'm alive, by the grace of God preaching, we're going to continue to look at this a lot. And God saw, Genesis chapter 6, 5, this is... And God saw that the wickedness of man, including Noah, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that describes every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and if you're saved, you still have that nature that is described just like that. That's you. That's me. Right now. The old man. Now, looking at Noah, it tells us that a believer can commit any sin that an unbeliever can. Let me repeat that. A believer, a child of God, one born of the Spirit, one who looks to Christ only, can commit any sin an unbeliever can, with the exception of the sin against the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, what is the sin against the Holy Spirit? Well, spelled out very clearly in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer said, if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If you've received the knowledge of the truth, Christ is salvation. It has nothing to do with your works. And if you go back to works, it's over. Now that's what that means. It's over. If you go back to works, if you turn your back on the only way of salvation and look to your works once again because somehow the gospel didn't fit your agenda, that is the sin against the Holy Spirit. But any other sin, any believer can commit. Noah, while he is a sinner, is a beautiful illustration of a sinner saved by grace. Remember, that's the title of this message. Noah, a sinner saved by grace. Now, we read in verse 8 of chapter 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The grace of God. I love the way it sounds. I love to say it, the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is in Christ Jesus. And Noah is a beautiful illustration of that. All of God's salvation was in the ark, wasn't it? Wasn't anywhere else. If you were outside of the ark, there was no salvation for you. Salvation was for those in the ark. God's grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anywhere else. Don't look for it anywhere else. The grace of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is eternal. You see, if you have His grace, you've always been the object of His grace. Before time began, you were the object of His grace. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Pause, my soul, adore and wonder. Ask, oh, why such love for me? God's grace is sovereign. He says, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Somebody that has a problem with that has a problem with God. This is who He is. His grace is sovereign grace. His grace is saving grace. By grace ye are saved. God's grace is not an offer. He doesn't throw it out there and say you can accept it or reject it. No, God's grace saves. God's grace is free. Being justified freely, freely by His grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And God's grace, I love thinking this, God's grace is righteous grace. It's altogether righteous. It's not God sweeping our sin under the carpet. Oh, His righteousness is exalted in His grace. When sin is punished in the Savior and His perfect righteousness is given to us, there's nothing unclean about God's grace. There's nothing unjust about God's grace. It's altogether righteous grace. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, the New Testament account of Noah is all good because every believer, by grace, has a brand new history. And it's all perfect. You know, I can't change history. I can't redo anything I've done. But God gives every believer a brand new history. Now I'd like to talk a few moments about the sin of Ham. Now what Noah did was sinful. It cannot be excused on any level. It cannot be justified on any level. As he lays there in the tent, passed out in his nakedness, and that nakedness in the Scripture represents depravity. What's the first thing that happened when Adam and Eve ate the fruit? They knew they were naked. It was a new reality with them, dead in trespasses and sins. And that's what that is representative of in this man, Noah. There he lays, naked and passed out. Ham sees his father, and he's going to expose him. This man who claims to be a Christian. This man who claims to be a follower of God. Look at him. Ham wants his father exposed for what he is. Question. Have you ever wanted somebody to be exposed? Have you ever wanted somebody's sin to be found out? Do you know that's a worse sin than the sin that that person committed that you want exposed? That's worse. There are degrees of sin. Scripture teaches that. There are degrees of sin. I think of what the Lord said to Capernaum. He said it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom. You know what Sodom is? They're going to have it better on judgment than you, because you've seen me, you've heard my gospel, and you've turned your back on it. There are different levels of sin. And this sin of Ham exposes the rottenness of his heart. Have I ever wanted somebody to be exposed? Sure I have. How evil. How wicked. How contrary to the gospel of God's grace. You ever wanted somebody kicked out of the church? Well, they ought to be kicked out for that. What a wicked attitude. What an evil attitude, wanting somebody to be kicked out. You see, that attitude that Ham was cursed for, that Canaan was cursed for, is completely contrary to love. Love covereth a transgression. That's what love does. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love covers all things with silence. Now, when Ham had this attitude toward his father, he was not displaying love on any level. If you love somebody, you want to cover their sins, not expose them, but cover them. You know, I think of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want to expose, you don't want to be exposed, do you? You want somebody to expose you? You know, if you're looking for a reason to expose somebody, you can find it with anybody. If you're looking for a reason to make them look bad, you can find it with anybody. No doubt about it. Somebody wants to dig up dirt on anybody, it's easy. But it's so contrary to love. And that is what Ham was doing. And as a matter of fact, Ham was demonstrating amazing self-righteousness. Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for you that judgest, doest right now the same things. Whatever you're seeking to expose that person about, how hypocritical when you're doing the same things, present tense, that's you. That's what's in your heart. Now, Ham was cursed for this behavior. I think of those fellows that brought that woman taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law says that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? I love the Lord's reply. You that are without sin, throw the first stone. And I have no doubt he was talking about that sin. You that are without it, go ahead and throw the first rock. If I really believe myself to be a sinner, I feel unqualified to be a judge of anybody about anything. Ham exposed the rotten of his heart in seeking to expose his father. Love covers a transgression. Now let's consider the conduct of Shem and Japheth, and we have such a beautiful type of the gospel in these men. Look in verse 23. Verse 22, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and he told his two brethren without. You guys need to see this. This shows what a monster that man is. You know, he had something against his dad, no doubt, for whatever reason. But look at Shem and Japheth's response. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, a blanket of some kind, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and they walked in backwards with that blanket to cover their father with their faces away to where they never saw his nakedness. And they covered it. Now, let me tell you something about these two men. They both believe themselves to be sinners. They believe that about themselves. They were sure of it. They had no right to expose their father because they knew something about themselves. If somebody you know falls into some horrible sin and you find yourself wanting them exposed and kicked out of the church, watch out. You're in danger of coming under the curse of Ham if that is your heart and thought. Their actions give us a beautiful type of the gospel of Christ. He covers our nakedness. He covers our sin so as not to see it. He doesn't look at a believer and say, I know what you really are. Doesn't work like that. I mean, this is the glory of the gospel. The thought that came to my mind when I was trying to consider this was David's cover-up. Now, you want to talk about a cover-up. He's out there on the roof when he should have been out with the army, wasting time. He sees Bathsheba in a horrible abuse of power. He has her brought to him. You see, the king could do anything he wanted. He committed adultery with her. She became with child. And he did everything he could to cover it up. He tried to make Uriah think it was his child by bringing him in immediately. When that didn't work, he had Uriah, a fine man, a man mentioned in the Mighty Men of David, a man who had been loyal to David. He had this fine man murdered in cold blood. Could a believer do that? Don't even think something like that. You could do that. I could do that. Given the opportunity and the right circumstances, there's nothing you or I wouldn't do apart from the grace of God. And he had this man murdered. He had another man implicated in it. He had Joab do his dirty deeds. And you can bet, and he had nothing but trouble from Joab from that time forth. And I'm sure Joab lost all respect for David when he saw that take place. What wickedness, what a cover-up, what an abuse of power. But the Lord in mercy exposed David's sin to him. You remember the story of Nathan the prophet coming in and saying, let me tell you about something that happened. There was a man that had a little lamb that he loved with all of his heart. He'd actually sat at meals with him, ate from their table with his kids. Oh, he loved this little lamb. And there was a rich man who had a vast amount of sheep, and somebody came to visit him, and he didn't want to waste one of his sheep on that man, so he went and took that man's little lamb and killed it and fed it to his guests. David said, as the Lord liveth, he'll surely die. I'm gonna make sure that man dies. You know, I think this is just a beautiful example of how we see everybody else's sin before we see our own. You know, he said, that man's going to die. Thou art the man. And David understood at that time, through the Lord's mercy, his sin was exposed. And he wrote Psalm 32. Yes, he wrote Psalm 51, but he also wrote Psalm 32 in response to this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, here's the gospel. My sin is forgiven because it's been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it wasn't imputed to me, it was imputed to Christ. It became his, and his righteousness is mine. That's the gospel of covering. Covering. Oh, blessed is that man whose iniquity is forgiven, whose sin is covered, not imputed. I'm so thankful for the Lord's covering. And His covering is infinitely different than a covering we could come up with. When He covers, it's not still there underneath. It's not there. Because it's not. That's what His blood accomplished. That's His kind of covering. Look in Genesis 6, verse 9. God's testimony of Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect, undefiled in his generations. That's God's testimony of Noah at all times because of this covering. Now go back to Genesis chapter 9. Verse 24. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. No point in speculating what it is because we don't know. We know he uncovered him and saw his nakedness, and that's enough. And he said, cursed be Canaan. That was the son of Ham. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now remember, these three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, are the men that God used to repopulate the earth. And Canaan was going to be a servant. And indeed he was. Remember how Abraham was given the land of Canaan and the inhabitants of Canaan were dispossessed. Somebody says, why did God do that? Well, they were so wicked. He didn't do it because Abraham was good. He told Israel, don't think that I'm doing this because of some goodness on your part. It's because of the wickedness of the inhabitants of the land. And that was the Canaanites. And they were under God's curse. But the gospel is so clear here. Verse 26, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Do you know Shem's mentioned in the New Testament? The Christ came through his line. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Read it in Luke 3:36. He's in that great genealogy that goes all the way to Adam of the line of the Christ. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now look what it says in verse 27. God shall enlarge Japheth. He's going to have wide open spaces at complete liberty, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Now, the liberty that's dwelling in Christ, that's what that's a reference to. Shem represents Christ. Japheth dwells in his tents. Abide in me, the Lord said. And this is the believer dwelling in the wide open liberty, the liberty that's in Christ Jesus, the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. If the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. That's where Japheth dwelled. And Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years. And here's his end. He died. He died. Three words the Scripture gives to describe the death of the believer. Now, everybody's going to die. And if I'm not in Christ, it ain't good. It's not good in any way. I don't even like to think about it. Standing before God in my sins, hearing the Lord say on judgment day, depart from me, I never knew you. It shall be ill with the wicked, but with every believer, without exception, Three words describe their death. Blessed, number one. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. The most blessed day any believer has is the day of their death, because that very day they're going to wake in the very presence of God in perfect conformity to the image of Christ, no longer being a sinner, seeing His face in righteousness. That's blessed. And then there's the word precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know, when I die, when any believer dies, it's precious to the Lord. You know, we don't have any idea how much He really loves us or what that love is. And we believe it, but understanding it, no. But it's precious to the Lord. And then there's the word gain. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What gain Noah had when he died? He was in the presence of the Lord, perfectly conformed to His image. And he died. Blessed day. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the covering of Your gospel. We're so thankful for the power of the blood of Your Son that removes our sin because He willingly took it on Himself. Lord, deliver us from ever wanting to expose somebody. Deliver us from that. Forgive us for the wickedness of our heart that would make us want to. Cause us to be like Shem and Japheth, not seeing the sin of others because we see so clearly the sin of ourselves. Give us the grace to believe Your gospel. Give us the grace to love one another, the love that keeps no records of wrongs. Bless us for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Dwayne.